My prayer for this week, here's what I view as success. If anybody in here ends up drawing closer to God, it's a successful week. That's success to me. I pray, though, however, that if there's anybody in the audience who has never put on Christ, that you have, will hopefully hear something that'll cause you to want to step out on faith and to allow Christ to be your Savior, and that you will be joined with Him in unity, and we'll talk about how that happens, and that you will become a faithful servant of His. I will tell you that life is an interesting thing. And if you keep living, you will understand it. And as we live life, we begin to realize that nobody has an easy life. That's TV. Everybody has challenges in life, and we're going to talk about those challenges and talk about those things. And I plan to speak with you about things that may have been struggles for myself or things that I had to learn and apply, and hopefully it helps you, and we go from there. So, I don't know how many years ago we started this, but me and my wife became, she became, which means I became, HGTV fanatic. I watch House Hunters. I can pretty much pick out what house they're going to get. I watch Do It Yourself Weekends or whatever, DIY or whatever that stuff is called. We do the Property Brothers, all that stuff. And Stacy will get these crazy ideas in her head, and you need to understand this. I was born and raised in California. I didn't learn how to change oil in my car until my boxing trainer taught me when I was 18 years old. Right? Real talk, y'all gonna think I'm playing, but I'm for real. I didn't know that pickles are really cucumbers until I was like 24. Because somebody brought me a jar of pickles and I said, man, that looks like a cucumber. And he said, Brent, what's a pickle? I said, a pickle, man. He said, where do you get pickles? I said, from the store. He called everybody over at work and said, y'all gotta hear this. Brent, what's a pickle? I told, you guys don't hear it, it comes from the store. Call my wife. I said, baby, where do pickles come from? I don't know, from the store. So, in California, is a different world, the part I grew up. I grew up in the inner city. We didn't care about pickles. We didn't care about any of that stuff. And I also didn't know about how to do this HGTV stuff and Weekend Warrior stuff. That's important for what I'm about to tell you, for you to understand that. So when you hear what I'm about to tell you, you don't think, what in the world was he doing? So here's how it happens. So me and Stacey turn around, and Stacey decides she wants to build a fire pit. So we go to Lowe's, we got those bricks, we build this fire pit. And it's a nice size fire pit. I don't know, probably about 7 feet around. I don't know how big it is, good size. We got it stacked up and we're good. So Stacey's one of those people that as soon as she does something, she wants to make it nice. So it's summertime and Stacey wants to have a bonfire. So Stacey says, look, I'm going to have all the girls over from church. So the girls come over from church. My daughter's at that time probably about, Sierra's probably 13, and Laura's probably 11, and all of a sudden they're having all the young girls over from church. There's probably like 15 young girls over there. So they come over, I turn around, I go, and I get the fire going. I put the wood in there and make a fire the way I know how to make a fire. So the fire's going. It's not much of a fire, but it is a fire. I go to my room, and I'm by myself, enjoying myself, and I have time by myself to just sit there and do nothing and watch TV. And all of a sudden, here comes Stacy walking in the room. Cookie, huh. Can you come out there and make the fire bigger? Stacey, the fire's big enough. And I walk outside and I look at it and I said, that's big enough for y'all to do what you got to do. And the girls say, please, Mr. Brent, please. We're trying to make s'mores and we need the fire to be bigger. So I felt obligated because all these girls are saying, please. So I go to my garage and I get this plastic gas canister. And I walk out to the fire, and I say, whew. And all of a sudden, the girls say, ooh. And I said, ooh. I throw it on there again. And the girls say, ah. And I say, ah. So in my head, I'm thinking, I'm going to make this bad boy big. And I go, they're like, ah. And when I come up, I notice that the nozzle's now on fire in my hand. So I take the canister and I throw it out of my hand, and the gasoline goes across the gas, and since it's already on fire, my grass goes on fire. And you hear these girls, ah, everybody run! And they take off running. So I go into the house, get a fire extinguisher, and put the fire out. And all I was trying to do was make the fire bigger. They were asking me, please, Mr. Brent. So I wanted to take care of it for them. I was just trying to make the fire bigger. I wanted them to be happy about the fire being bigger. That's all I wanted to do, which leads me to the title of my sermon. If it comes up. Give me a second. May need some assistance. So this is on. Deck, you may need you to pop up here.
B not work.
B. This is part of brotherly love right here, y'all.
I take one. Oh, she's fine too. That's not one.
All right. That's the title of my sermon now. Can these bones live? And what we're going to do is we're going to go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. That's where our text is going to come from. Now, let me set the stage for you while you're turning over there. This is after Josiah has become king of Israel. And so you had bad king after bad king, and all of a sudden here he has a moral decline and complacency. And so the children of Israel have been taken into captivity. They're in exile. And so what the Lord is trying to do is he's trying to restore them. He's trying to restore his children. And all of a sudden he gets to a point where he has Ezekiel. And in chapter 37... he takes Ezekiel to a vision, and he takes him out, and this is what it reads. It says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me, well, first of all, let me just make sure we all get this. Here you have God taking Ezekiel out there, and he, in a vision, takes him out, and he puts him in this valley, and in this valley is a bunch of dry, decrepit bones. And the Bible says in verse 2 that he caused me to pass by them. So then you have Ezekiel walking around and looking and examining all these bones. You have neck bones and back bones and foot bones and all these different bones that he's just examining and walking around. And he says, he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. So when he had them, and as he examined them, he's looking at them, and he realizes that these are some dead bones. It's a valley of dead bones, a congregation of dead bones. And so you have this congregation of dead bones, and all of a sudden he's looking at it, and he's examining it, and he realizes that what is the purpose of me looking at this congregation of dead bones? And here comes the question from God. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? Why don't you listen to that question? Here you are looking at a valley of dead bones, a congregation of dead, dry bones. If God asked me that question, Brent, can these bones live again? I would say no, because they're dead. They're dead. They're dead. They're dry. It's not going to come back to life. There's no point of it coming back to life. My answer would be no, it cannot live again. But that's not the answer that we get from Ezekiel. Ezekiel gives him this answer right here. He says, in verse 3, continues, he says, I don't know if they can live, but you do, is what he comes up to say. I'm saying it's too late. So, let me say this to you before I begin. I believe there's some of you in this room who could possibly feel like you are dead, decrepit bones. That you're dried up. that what once was alive in Christ is no longer alive. That the zeal that you once had, you no longer have. That the passion that you once had is gone. That you've become unemotional and you feel like giving up. That you start to begin to think to yourself, what is the point of serving God? Spiritually speaking. And the question that he asked him is the same question I'm going to ask you this morning. Can your bones be made alive again? Can your spiritual fire be restoked? And the reason why I told you that I would say no to that initially is because that is how we look at things. We look at things and when we see there's no hope, it's done, it's dead, and it's finished. And the reason why that is important is because that attitude of believing that once something is dead and done will cause you to give up. And when you begin to give up because you feel like there's no hope, you will have no fight. You will have no desire. You will have nothing in you, and you will just go through the motions. You will come into service, and you will literally go through the motions. You will come in here and not know what to do and just go to church because you feel like you have to go to church because that's what a good Christian does. And you will find yourself being dried up, spiritually weak, unmotivated, and I want to tell you this morning that that is not God's intentions. If you find yourself in this situation, this sermon this morning is for you. If you find yourself on the verge of feeling like you get nothing out of service, this sermon is for you. If you find yourself reading your Bible and you feel like, you know what, I'm just not getting anything out of it, this sermon is for you. If you find yourself being weak, no longer wanting to put God first, this is for you. Because the question he asked him is, can these bones live again? And when he comes back and says, I don't know, you know that, this is what he tells him to do. He tells Ezekiel to do this. He says, and he said to me, prophesy to these bones. You want me to preach to some dead, dried up bones? That's weird. Think about that. He's telling him to go preach to these bones. I want you to take this something that's dead and dried up. And I want you this thing that used to be. It used to have life. It used to have zeal. It used to want to do. It used to want to move and want to work. I want you to go and preach to that to the dry bones and tell the dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of God to these bones. Surely I will cause breath to enter into you. And you shall live. I will put my sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord God. He's saying, I want you to go and I want you to talk to them and I want you to tell them that I'm the God who can put breath back into them. I'm the God who can put new flesh back on you. I'm the God who can stand you up. I'm the God who can make you alive again. Now, if you don't believe that, and you've just been going through the cycle of going through the motions of, you know what, being a Christian has nothing to do. I can't get anything out of it. And God wants you to know today, you don't have to be like that. He wants you to realize that the intentions of this relationship with him was for you and him to walk hand in hand and to go and let him lead you and let him show you. He's telling you, you can be alive. He has Ezekiel looking at this valley of dry bones that looks like it's hopeless, looks like there's nothing there. And he says, I want you to talk to him, Ezekiel. I want you to tell him that today they can come back. Can these bones live is the question. So as Ezekiel started preaching and started talking to these dry bones and what thus saith the Lord, I want you to notice what started happening. Ezekiel says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Ezekiel said that as the word started to get preached, that something started to happen. As Ezekiel started to obey God, he says that something starts to happen, that all of a sudden here you have this movement, you have these things, things are alive. And look what it says in verse 9 and 10. He also said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord, come from our four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Let me play back everything that you just got. There's a group of dead soldiers, an exceedingly great army. And these dead soldiers are now dead and dried up, and they no longer live. There's no more fighting them. They're gone. The life is gone. And all of a sudden, God takes his servant and says, I want you to go to these dead, the dried up, decrepit bones, and I want you to preach. Tell them about me. Tell them what I can do. You tell them how great I am. You tell them about my strength. And as he began to preach that, the dry bones began to hear this message and began to hear about God and began to hear this message. And all of a sudden, you get bone to bone and skin came and it stood them up and they have breath. And all of a sudden, you got these soldiers, an exceedingly great army. These were soldiers who had died. These were soldiers of God who were dried and dead. And all of a sudden, you have them standing up. And verse 11 says something. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we have ourselves are cut off. This is talking about Israel. But I want us to understand the application of this morning. God is telling us that it is possible for his people to have a feeling of dimness. That you can get to a point in serving God that you just feel like blah. That there's no hope. That it's pointless, that it's dead, that you're in a spiritual valley, that you feel like there's no point of going through these motions. And, you know, I'll be honest with you and tell you, I have felt like that before. I have felt that as I'm sitting there and here I am a child of God and I'm serving God, that I'm watching other people who come to the same services I come to and they're listening to stuff and they're hearing stuff or they're in Bible class and you're watching just the light bulb go off up for them and they're just excited, they feel good, and they're sitting there making comments about how good and great God is, and I'm sitting there looking at them like, really? Why are they able to do that and I'm not getting the same thing out of this? You watch them sing songs and they're singing songs and it's like they're really singing to God and I'm sitting there feeling like I'm just going through the motions singing. I'm watching them sit up there and they're convicted by scriptures, and I'm reading the same scriptures, and it's doing absolutely nothing for me. I have been there, and I know that there is somebody in this room who, if you're not there, you're on your way there, that when you hear God's word, it's not penetrating anymore. It's not moving you anymore. It's not standing you up anymore. It doesn't cause you to want to fight for God. You are just sitting there reading it, going through the motions, and trying to put on a good face for everybody else because you don't want nobody to know that you are dry and dead and dried up. And that's not what God wants it to be. And he's telling us here that I don't want you going through these motions. I don't want you feeling like you are so disconnected with me, and I don't want you to sit up here and pretend to be happy. I want you to be strong. I want you to be honest. I want you to be sincere. Now I want you to know, and I had to ask myself a hard question, what is wrong with me? Why do I feel like that? Why am I the one sitting here that I'm not getting? There has to be something wrong with me. How does somebody else get all this edification out of God's word, but when I read it, I'm not getting the same thing? Something has to be wrong with me. That's how I felt. Because I didn't have what they had. And I didn't want to be in that valley any longer. And I didn't know what to do. I was at my end. This is what being a Christian's about? You want me to go talk to other people about this? That's how I felt. For what? For what reason would I go try to tell somebody about God when I'm not even convicted about it myself? When I don't even feel like it's doing anything for me myself? When I read the Bible and I feel like it doesn't even matter? What's the point? Why would I want to do that? And I didn't know what to do. I'm going to tell you what I did. I prayed. Now, let me be very clear and blunt. I didn't pray that prayer that we always go through and God, you're so great and God, you're so wonderful and God. I didn't do that because that's not how I felt. I said, forget all the acts, forget all the fakeness and be real with God. If God knows me and understands me and knows how I think, I should just be straight up with him. And I told God, God, I do not feel close to you. I do not feel like you love me. I don't feel a connection to you. I don't even want to serve you. I don't feel what's the point of serving you. I know mentally I should serve you. I get that. Mentally, but I don't have a desire to serve you. I don't have a zeal to serve you. And I need you to help me to learn to love you. I need you to show me how to love you and show me how to be. Because if this is what being a Christian is about, this is not for me. I had a real conversation with God. If the Bible says that God knows our thoughts, I felt like, what's the point of pretending any longer? I can fake in front of you. I might as well be real with God. So I was. I told him how I wasn't connected. And how I wanted to feel close. I wanted to understand him the way I see other people understanding him. I wanted him to help me to love him. I wanted to be his friend like Abraham was his friend. I wanted him to feel like he can trust me like he trusted Moses. I wanted him to realize, and I wanted him to turn around and just help me. And I realized what the problem was with Brent is here I am. I'm praying this to God. But I realized as I started to examine my life, what I was doing. Let me give you. I was reading my Bible. But I was reading that magic quota. You know that one chapter a day? To say you read your Bible? I was praying. But you know those little prayers that you do just to say you prayed? People see you bow your head? I would try to talk about God here and there, but not because I really was just trying to talk about God, but because so people would think that I was religious. And I made a commitment within myself that I'm going to stop reading my Bible for that quota, for that chapter a day or that three chapters a day. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read my Bible in such a way that if I'm not done with what I'm studying, I'm going to continue to read it till I finish before I stop. I'm not going to put a time limit on God. I'm going to study. I'm going to get an understanding. I'm going to realize what this is. And as I begin to do that, I begin to get this knowledge. And as I begin to get knowledge to understand how God was working and what God was really saying in certain situations, it helped me to understand some things about God. And as I began to understand things about God, my prayers became different when I talked to God. I didn't pray for these things that were just this superficial stuff. I understood what to pray about. And as I realized what to pray about and all this understanding came, I became more bold. Remember Bible class, y'all? Remember Bible class? I became more bold on what I should say to people and how I talk to people. I realized that in this whole situation, that what I had done is I stopped trying to be who I was supposed to be. And I began to read to understand and read to learn and pray to truly talk to God. And after I started doing that and started coming, I realized and learned so much that I became amazed of what I learned. I became so amazed I would call people and have conversations. And I would say, did you know that God did this? Hey, give me your take on this. What do you think this means right here? I remember getting a call from a friend of mine at 1 o'clock in the morning. This joker calls me talking about, hey, Brent, what you doing? What you mean what I'm doing? I'm asleep, man. It's 1. Well, grab your Bible. I'm asleep. No, you got to see this. Grab my Bible. He takes me over to Ezekiel 37. And we began having a conversation about this for 3 hours from 1 to 4 a.m., and I got to go to work. And we're talking about, man, look at this. Did you know God said this? And we began to discuss the Bible in depth, and my knowledge grew. And as my knowledge grew, let me tell you what happened. It began to stand me up. I began to feel better about this relationship between me and God. I began to stop being superficial about my prayers to God. I began to realize that God has always been the same. The problem was Brent. After I obeyed the gospel, I didn't continue to add to those things I was supposed to add to. I told y'all Bible class is coming back. We have a responsibility to do what God told us to do. And when we find ourselves weak, it's not God's fault. It is our fault for not doing what God said do. And I did not realize that. And it's my responsibility to tell you that because I failed what I was supposed to do, I don't want you to do the same thing. You can be stood up. You can feel good about serving God. You can have a zeal about serving God. You can love God. You can feel close to God if you do what God told you to do. God can't chase you. He's not going to run you down and beg and plead. He did that when he sent Jesus. Now he's standing here saying, I'm here for you. I want to help you. I want to show you. Come here and let me show you. Let me help you out. But I had a lot of work to do. Before I knew it, I had a special relationship with God again. I felt how I felt when I came out of the watery grave of baptism. Y'all remember that feeling? Remember the feeling when you came out of the watery grave of baptism and you said, man, I'm ready to do what I gotta do. I'm gonna serve God all the days of my life. God saved me from my sins. Praise the Lord, and I'm ready to serve him. Remember that feeling? That feeling should still be there. That commitment. That desire. And when it's gone, it's because we're not doing. We're not being. We're not committed as we used to be. We think that we just sit there and it's going to continue to be the same thing. And we have to continue to fight. You had soldiers who were slain, who lost the battle, and God is telling his soldiers, stand up! You can fight again! You can get back in the battle! You don't have to lose this fight! You can keep on pushing on! But I need you to hear the word of the Lord! I need you to be obedient to the word of the Lord. I need you to be committed to the word of the Lord. And then let the Lord show you the power of the Lord. I changed my focus. And changing my focus changed my actions. Changing my actions changed my commitment. Changing my commitment changed my relationship. Changing my relationship changed the way that I do things in life. Changing the way that I do things in life is going to change my destination. Look what he says in verse 14. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Are you in the spiritual valley this morning? Do you not feel the way that God intended you to consciously know who you are? We can change that this morning. If you are a soldier of Christ, you feel slain, beat down, worn out, like you're just going through the motions. You don't have to be that way. You don't have to feel that way. That is not the way that God intended this thing to be. What value do I add when I'm just going through the motions and I can't even smile and be happy about where I'm going, what's happening in life, to be able to want to share it with somebody else? If I'm not convicted, how do I help convict somebody else? If I'm not convinced, how do I help convince somebody else? If I don't feel alive, how am I going to show somebody what it's like to be alive? God wants us to be stood up. When we ran the song, I was amazed because I never really truly paid attention to how close the song of how long has it been, the words that were sung. How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secrets? I did that. How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? Let me tell you this. If you are in the valley, it's because you feel that he doesn't care for you. And that has been too long. He can stand you up this morning. He can renew you today. The question is, can your bones live again? If you are a child of God and you have felt that there's no hope, that you are on a spiritual low for God, you need to be stood up. You need God to revive you again, to rejuvenate you again. Take the first step. Pray to God. Let us pray with you and pray for you to say, God, your child wants you back in their life, but they don't know how to do it. Because if you could have did that, if you would have been that, you would have done it. Don't let pride get in the way. Realize, humble yourself before the Lord and allow him to lift you up. There's no shame in realizing that you need to do better. It's only shame when you know to do better, you do nothing about it. Let us pray for you. Let us pray with you. Let us lift you up to God, the one who can make a change. I'm telling you, God helped me. And if he can help me, I know that he can help you. I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. Do not leave in that state, because that's not the state he wants you to be in. You may be here this morning, you're not a child of God. Meaning that you did not obey the gospel. Meaning that you may be here and you love God and you want to serve God and you want to do what God told you to do, but let me be very clear what God said. God says, unless you are obedient to him, you cannot be his child. But what does that mean to be obedient? He says, first of all, if you believe that he is God, you need to understand something. You need to understand one thing. You need to understand that Jesus Christ is his son. You need to be willing to turn from your ways, meaning that you are no longer going to walk for self, but you're going to turn and you're going to walk and do what God said do. He says if you're willing to do that, which we call repentance, he wants you to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That confession was something that people could not handle back in the day because they thought that Jesus thought he was, that's crazy. A human coming to say they're the Son of God? That don't even make sense. They thought he was crazy for that. Now we know that's the truth, that God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. Those who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he says if you do that, you are eligible at that point, repenting and confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you are eligible to have your sins washed away in the watery grave of baptism. And you will go down, as Romans 6 says, and he will raise you up in a newness of life. You will kill off this old man, and you will walk in a newness of life. And when he stands you up, he wants you to be a soldier of his. Not one that gives up, not one that no longer has hope, but one that honestly contends for the faith until the end of your life, so that one day he can tell you, enter in my good and faithful servant. God's plan works. If we follow God's plan, we will make it home to heaven. If you have not been doing what you should be doing, if you have not been engaged with God the way you should be engaged, if you have not depended on God the way you need to depend on God, if you have not, if you're not where you need to be, the question is simple. Can your bones live the first time or either again? If you are subject to the invitation, please come forward as together we stand and sing.